Hello, everyone.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Marjorie Papps, the host of Caregiver and Physician Conversations, brought to you by eCareDiary.com. I'm a speaker, facilitator, and co-author of Enrich Your Caregiving Journey, and I also write a feature called Ask the Caregiving Coach. Joining me is Dr. John Guarneri. Dr. Guarneri is the past president of the medical staff at Florida Hospital, where he oversaw 2,200 physicians at seven campuses. For 30 years, he's practiced OBGYN as his specialty, and he established the Physician-Driven Department of Healthcare and Spirituality at Florida Hospital in 2008. This, as our second show, I'd just like to remind you of our purpose. The purpose of this segment, Caregiver and Physician Conversations, is to provide practical information and tips for both family and professional caregivers like you. We seek to develop ideas that will bridge the gap between family caregivers and medical professionals, particularly when identifying emotional and spiritual needs. Today, we'll also be opening up the phone lines for your questions, and we hope to hear from you. But first, we'd like to set the stage. We want to discuss a very hot topic, finding quality time with the doctor. As we mentioned in the first show, it does take two to have a conversation, and our topic today will certainly show that as well. All of us need to consider ways to make our needs known, both from the doctor's perspective and from our perspective. Dr. Guarneri, thank you so much for being with us. Why do you think doctors forget to check in with caregiver and patient needs, especially those emotional and spiritual needs?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Marjorie, and good afternoon to everyone that's out there. There's a few points that I would like to raise. I think some of it has to do with the training that we go through, which certainly emphasizes the physical, at times the psychosocial, and rarely the spiritual aspect when appropriate. And with that, I think at times just the way they learn, they de-emphasize that aspect of conversation in the psychosocial arena. In addition, for many reasons, physicians have time constraints on them. And this does not excuse it, but it's a reality within the situation. In addition, physicians and medicine in general is becoming more segmented. And with that segmentation, sometimes the responsibility in conversations on particular issues don't occur.
That's really interesting. So to find that quality time, what would you say are some questions or comments the caregivers can use to get the doctor's attention, to break through, you know, that we're all very busy, and help the doctor see in a positive way that more help is needed?
Yeah, I think there's a number of questions that could be done very nicely where it will get the physician's attention, such as, you know, doctor, I'm really anxious over this situation from my mother, or I really feel intimidated by some of the words and the information that you're saying. I wonder if you can elaborate that. Or simply, I don't understand. Could you help me to understand better, or could you put this into perspective?
Yes. And you mentioned the doctor's training, and all of us, I think, can relate to that, given different training in different fields that we all come from. Sometimes our training can inhibit our ability to really realize that other people need to understand in a different way. And I love your comments and questions, with the caregiver just opening up and being very direct and saying, hey, I need your help. Sometimes I refer to examples that you gave as high payoff questions and comments, mm-hmm. questions and comments that really get at it quickly and effectively. And I think, and I ask you this, I think it's important for caregivers and patients to really have questions at work. Because time is often limited. So, doctor, I'm sure caregivers and their families would love to know what doesn't work when trying to get more time with physicians. What are your thoughts on that one?
As far as what doesn't work is, I think if you do notice that the physician is rushed, and you're getting anxious over the fact that information is not going to be elaborated, that saying, recognize that and say, doctor, I know you're busy, but I really have some important questions to ask you. If you'd like, you could call me later, or I'd be happy to make another appointment and come sit down and review this situation after you just examined my mother or my sister or whoever it may be. But I think bringing it to the attention of the physician, since this is a dialogue we're talking about, is extremely important.
Great, yes. And, I mean, we all love empathy, including physicians. So I think that has worked for me when I've said to a physician, I can see you're busy, but I really need your time at another juncture. And you're absolutely right. That does work very, very well. Well, as we've mentioned earlier, it does take two to have that meaningful conversation. So, Dr. Guarneri, what do you think are some high payoff questions that physicians can then use with patients?
You know, this is a dialogue, as you said, Marjorie, and you're right. There are, when a physician sees that a patient may be intimidated by them, I think it's important for him to embrace them with an open question so they could feel more comfortable. For example, how can I further help you in understanding the situation that your mother has? And would you like to even come back? I know I'm limited with my time, but would you like to come back in a day or two where we could sit down further? Or can we sit down with also my physician assistant, nurse practitioner, since I have to run to the hospital for an emergency? There are a number of outs, but I think just opening up that dialogue and keeping open, it's important. I know one of my favorite things to do with patients when I'm leaving, even though we've addressed the situation, is ending with, if you have any other questions, give my office a call, and myself or my nurse will be happy to answer them for you.
That is really, you know, that's a good one, because I can remember when I was a caregiver and now as a patient, sometimes you do forget in the sort of the emotion or heat or some stressful of the moment being in the doctor's office, you sometimes forget some key thing. And so you're on your way out and you're in your car and you're thinking, oh, I needed to ask that. And so you're, in essence, giving the permission to say, be sure to call us if there's anything. It goes a long way, I think, for patients.
You know, in the long run, Marjorie, I think it really saves us time as physicians.
Oh, well, how so? That's an intriguing thought.
Well, if you try to answer the questions that are there that are in the forefront of the patient's concerns, number one, you're allaying their concerns. Number two, you're helping to facilitate other important questions as you welcome that conversation. And I think you avoid many of the callbacks or a situation where a patient will hesitate or their caregiver will hesitate to call, and that situation spirals down and becomes a rather serious situation.
Yeah. Dealing with that situation early on, can prevent. And I know you've mentioned to me, although not on Blog Talk Radio, but I know when we first met, you were talking about how gratifying it is for a physician to really get to the core of an issue and to feel like the facilitation of things are moving forward in a positive way.
Yeah, that's true. I think most physicians go into medicine because of the profound relationships that we have with people. And that really is epitomized by those conversations and dialogues.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, we've identified, hopefully for you listeners today, some of the questions and comments that could be utilized and that you might utilize. And if we've even hit on one for all of you, then I think that's hopefully very helpful for you today. So before we open up the phone lines, Dr. Guarneri and I are going to consider just a couple of quick typical situations. And these short examples, I hope, that follow here in a moment are going to also be helpful for you. And let me pose the first situation. At Dr. Guarneri, a situation I faced many times when I was caregiving. I alluded to it briefly a minute ago, is I would, let's say I would have just left the physician's office or examining room and with my husband with me, and as we're in the car, perhaps driving away, my gut, my body, my mind was saying, oh, I'm still feeling I don't have all the information I need. And I would get so frustrated, more at myself than anything. So to avoid situations like that, what would you suggest would be helpful for caregivers to remember to do?
Yeah. I have two thoughts there, Marjorie. The first is, first of all, try to be proactive about it. In fact, before you ever go to the office, maybe by a few hours or even the night before, write down any questions or concerns that you have beforehand so you don't forget. Number one, it's going to relax you because you're going to have that list right there for you.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a really good point.
And the other point I wanted to raise is if you did forget a number of questions and you're on the way out and realize that, certainly you could mention it to the staff in the front office. And if there is, if time permits, they could ask the physician that a few more questions are needed and he could answer them then. But in reality, that may not be the case, and if he has an attentive front office staff, either the receptionist, the clerk, or the nurse there would say, well, let me speak to Dr. So-and-so, and I or he will get back to you on that today or within the next 24 hours.
You know, that is a really interesting point. I'm thinking back to my caregiving days and realizing that sometimes even there were things that I would rather ask the nurse than the doctor. Mm-hmm. Perhaps something really sensitive, something that I, you know, just maybe felt a little insecure asking the doctor. And so that is a really good point, to know that you've got this extended group of professionals that you can ask.
And funny you should put it that way, because in reality today in medicine we have physician extenders, such as physician assistants, nurse practitioners. And they are truly have that function where they could be the arms, the ears, sometimes the mouth for the physician in answering further questions. Usually they're not as rushed as the physician and can spend that extra time with the patient or the patient's family and further elaborating the situation and even helping to relax them a little bit more with that event.
That's really great. One of the things, and I'm going to turn the tables now on you, Dr. Guarneri, because I know that that doctors probably from time to time, the patient has left the office and the caregiver. They're perhaps even out of the office, and you have even commented to me that there have been a few times you've caught yourself at the conclusion of a visit saying, oh, did I really attend to this patient and caregiver? Mm-hmm. You know, what could I have done differently? So what helps you to remember to double back and check in with that patient and caregiver? Because you seem to have an internal clock that helps you think back and remember important things to say.
If I feel there's a significant gap, it just bothers me internally, and I will make a notation of that at that point. And if I have the time, if the patient's on the way out, I'll call the patient back. If not, if I have an office full of patients that I have to see, or even that I'm behind, I'll make a notation that I will call that patient when the smoke clears and things calm down to address that point. And I have no problem with saying, you know, Mary, I thought of something else that's important to me, and I believe it's important to you, and I needed to give you this call and go over it with you.
Great. Thank you so much. Well, we hope that those of you listening have found these examples also to be helpful. And we're going to open up the phone lines for some of your questions. So are there any callers on the line? Hello? Not hearing anyone on the line quite yet. We would like to pose some questions.
Hi, Martha.
Oh, have I heard somebody on the line?
I'm sorry, we do. We have Karen Kaplan on the line. I'm going to open her line right this second. Hi, Karen.
All right, great.
Oh, hello.
Yes, hello. Thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, you're most welcome.
Please answer. Please give your question.
Yes, I am a hospice chaplain. I sometimes encounter patients who are on hospice and should not be, or I hear about ones who are not and should be. What questions could caregivers and doctors ask each other to more honestly ascertain their criteria for hospice admission?
Well, my thoughts on that, Karen, first of all, is, and I'm really big on communication for obvious reasons when you think about what we do in the ultimate service industry here. With that, I think there has to be a real dialogue and conversation, not only with the patient that's within hospice, but their family as well, especially the alpha family member, if you will, the one that's really making the decisions, and really say, what do we want for your mom or your dad at this point? Where do you want to go with this situation? I think that's extremely important. And again, the other conversation is the conversation that you or maybe the nurse within hospice that would have with the physician and the comments there. Again, that nurse caring for that patient is really the eyes and ears of that physician, and he needs to know if there's something that that nurse is significantly uncomfortable about. So it really comes down to important conversations with those two entities.
Yeah. Was that helpful, Karen?
Well, thank you very much.
The other thing I would add, Karen, as a caregiver, is some of the things I observe not only in my own family but in other families is that, you know, when we have values that are perhaps different from the one that we're caring for, we can kind of get our signals crossed as well. And I have to admit there were times when I imposed something that I thought I wanted or that I thought the patient needed when actually looking to that patient and also looking to healthcare providers to help me with the reality of the medical situation. You know, did my loved one need hospice or not, rather than my presupposing. And I will admit I made that mistake.
You know, Karen, as well, I just had an afterthought, and that is I think a lot of people don't really understand what hospice is. And it's extremely important
yes.
that they really understand
yes.
how they serve the patient, how they serve the patient's family as well. And I think that needs to be further articulated, be mm-hmm. it not only with brochures, but with folks from hospice.
That's right, so it won't seem as intimidating to people.
Exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, some people hear hospice and that, oh, my God, I'm dying.
Right.
Going there to die.
Well, thank you, Karen, for all the wonderful work that I'm sure you do. And thanks for calling in.
Oh, you're
Take
welcome.
Take care now.
Do we have another caller on the line?
Hey, Marjorie. This is Mary Agnes. I would love to ask you guys
Hi.
A question about getting physician time. So how can I get my mom to advocate for herself more strongly? She sees a cardiologist. The cardiologist will review everything and basically then hand the file to a PA to dialogue with my mother. It's probably fine for a lot of patients, but unfortunately my mother does not like her. And so she really won't dialogue with her appropriately. She's also afraid to impose on the doctor and ask for his time. So it's hard to get her to advocate for herself. Is there any way that I can advocate for her and explain this to the doctor? Any advice you have would be most welcome.
Yeah, Mary, have you been to some visits with your mom to the cardiologist?
I have, but we don't have a HIPAA for me. She's very, very private. But I've been with her, so they know that we have a good relationship and that I support her.
Well, the fact that you're with your mom at that visit in front of the physician, that's basically by implication giving you permission, although I do agree, I think to sign a HIPAA form would be the best way to go. With that, though, I would sit down with your mom present and that cardiologist present and tell him that your mom has not been has been uncomfortable with the physician extender. I think you said it was a physician assistant?
Yes.
Okay. And is there any alternative way that we could communicate, well, be it with the cardiologist himself or another PA, and see what sort of response that you get? It seems like she obviously likes the cardiologist, but one of the other alternatives, if there's not a good rapport overall there, then I think you have to think of the alternative of another cardiologist where everyone could be comfortable with the information that's being given and taken.
Yes. And I would add to that, Mary Agnes, the idea that, and I won't say always, because there are a lot of things that aren't always in this world, but I think more often than not, when you can develop a collaborative relationship with the caregiver, the patient, the various medical professionals, as Dr. Guarneri is saying, all of whom are working on the same page and working together, I think that more often than not, you're going to achieve a better healing and health outcome. So, you know, if you're not feeling that this relationship has a collaborative potential to it, you might want to consider another doctor.
The one other alternative I see there, Mary, as well is a conversation with your mom present and you with that PA themselves in a very collaborative, good communication way of saying, you know, my mom's been uncomfortable with you. She was afraid to address that, and I'm here to try to help and facilitate the communication, and just open it up like that and see how receptive that PA would be as well.
Have we been helpful, Mary Agnes?
Tremendously. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. I would like to pose a question that came in after our first show that is related to this whole topic of quality time, and I think may be relevant to our listeners and something we haven't really touched on a lot today. And this is the question. My doctor doesn't answer the questions. In other words, I really don't understand the medical answers and terms that he's giving me. Can you explain how I can get the doctor's attention and get him or her to explain in a way that I will understand?
Marjorie, I think that happens quite a few times. And again, I think my colleagues don't realize how, not trying to be, but how intimidating we could be to a caregiver or even the patient themselves. And I think we have to be reminded about that. Because we live with these terms and these disease entities all the time, and forget that patients don't have the orientation to many of the routine, what we think are routine terms. So there is absolutely no problem for a caregiver or a patient to say, "Doctor, you just used the term pulmonary embolus, and I really don't understand that. Could you help me understand it?" What they're really saying is, bring it down to my level so I can understand this, have a better perspective on the situation, and be less anxious as we go forward.
And, you know, what you've just reminded me of, Doctor, is that, you know, we caregivers and patients have a good deal more power than we realize, because you're suggesting here that a caregiver can alter the conversation, can bring it to the level of understanding that the caregiver and the patient needs.
I was going to say also, Marjorie, that what you just do if you enact that conversation is you're telling the physician, look, bring this down to a level that I can understand it. And so that's going to be imprinted in his mind. So future conversations, he's going to bring automatically down to that level.
That is what a great lesson that is for all of us as caregivers, that we really do have the ability to set the tone and the nature of a conversation. And what a great way to end our show today. I'd like to thank all of you for phoning in. The response, both in written form, via social media, via this program, certainly tells us this is indeed a much-needed forum for both family and professional caregivers. A special thank you, as always, to Dr. John Guarneri for sharing his medical and professional insights and expertise. I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in, all of you silent listeners out there. Please join us again next month, March the 29th, for another caregiver and physician conversation. It will be aired at 2 p.m. Eastern, as usual. You can find out more about the book, Enrich Your Caregiving Journey, by going to the ecarediary.com homepage and clicking on the shopping button.
I'd like to say good day and good health to you all.
Thank you, Dr. Guarneri. Please tune in to eCare Diary's regularly scheduled show, of which this is a part, Empowering Family Caregivers, every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Next week on March 1st, Susan Bida will interview Dr. Patrick Abor, the founder and the director of the Center for Elderly Suicide Prevention and Grief-Related Services, a program now at the Institute on Aging in San Francisco. This is Dr. Guarneri and Marjorie Papps saying thank you again.
Take care now.
Bye.